How many of you know it? You don't have to have 35 people to make a joyful noise. Sound mighty good to me. You know, when you got 7 people, you can't hide. You either can sing or you can't sing. No room in the 7 group for somebody like me. You gotta have somebody. You gotta know what you're doing. Amen. Thank you, young people. However, it's open for others who want to join. I see some of our college students home. So you need to get up there in the choir, in this group, the young adults. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Beginning at first verse. First verse. I got a different translation here. Let me turn to the translation that everybody's got. John chapter 10, verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And as a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that they might have life, may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and flee, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Know my sheep and am known of mine. Amen. Amen. Good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I was thinking about this guy who's going around telling people that the world is coming to an end. He's so religious that he knows exactly when the Lord's coming. He's a thief and a robber. Good shepherd reminds his folk, the folk who know my voice. Good shepherd loves his people. My job is to tell you, don't listen to this guy. I don't care who he is. Can't justify it in the word. Don't listen. Might be a nice guy, might give some money to nice causes, but he's in error here. This text. I read the story of this young man like Jordan, young actor, young erudite actor. Someone asked him to, he was quoting various poems. Someone asked him, a pastor in the crowd asked him, would you report the 23rd? Would you say the 23rd Psalm? Thought about it for a minute and he went on and he began to recite the 23rd Psalm. He recited it with such diction, was so poised, was a wonderful rendition. When the young man got finished reciting the 23rd Psalm, everybody, he got a standing ovation. Everybody applauded. It was wonderful. He could have received an Emmy. But then somebody asked the pastor, this old uneducated pastor said, would you, Reverend X, would you say the 23rd Psalm? His diction was not nearly as clear. He was bent over, wrinkles in his face. And he began to recite the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And he went all the way through the 23rd Psalm. And by the time he finished, there was not a dry eye in the church or in the place. And it was pretty much just like right now. There was silence. No one said a word. Finally, the young actor said, I knew the song, but he knows the shepherd. What a wonderful thing to live in this mean and unfriendly world. Where we are known not by our names, but we are known by numbers. You go to the shop, right? They want to see your driver's license number. They want your social security number. Everybody is a number. How wonderful it is to live in a world where a shepherd knows our name. Not a number. I'm somebody. How wonderful it is to know the shepherd, but how much more it is for the shepherd to know you. This text talks about sheep and the shepherd. Text talks about sheep, a kind of a wandering group. Sheep follow anybody's lead. Sheep just sort of grazes the grass. And this text reminds us that a thief and a robber will not come in the front door, will come in and try to steal and kill and destroy the sheep. You know, we've got some children who will listen to everybody's voice but ours. Somebody else say amen. Somebody that's got a nice voice. Somebody that's handsome. Somebody that's beautiful. Somebody that's 14 that knows more than you at 60. That's got a rap that sounds good. Be careful who you listen to. There's some folks just, my grandmother used to tell me, boy, you're just talking to hear yourself talk. But she's really saying, you got nothing to say. Shut up! This text says, sheep group that strays away. But it's, the text says that Jesus knows the names of his sheep. I wish to God. I wish I could stand up here and tell you the truth and say, listen, I know every one of your names, but I don't. You know, sometimes people will come, get in my face because I've been here for 27 years and they say, you know, they know that I should know their names by now. And they say, what's my name? And I say, if you don't know your name, you got a problem. By now, you're 50 years old, you ought to know your name. What they're trying to say is, how many of you know your name means something? Your name counts. People like it when people know their names. The last thing in the world, we get all this mail, you know, dear resident, dear occupant, trash. Well, when I see something, Gregory J. Jackson, it makes me take notice because at least they know my name. Jesus, the great shepherd, he's the good shepherd, says, I know my sheep and I know their names. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad that Jesus knows my name.
Amen.
Now there's some things I like to tell, there's some things I wish he didn't know about me. I mean, I've done some things that are that embarrassing. I wish that he didn't know, but I'm so glad that he loves me enough that in spite of my sins, he looks beyond my fault and he owns me as his child. That's my fault. I got some
people, my senior, they can call me boy. They say, that's my boy. Don't you try.
But Jesus. He says, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd cares about his sheep. And the Bible says, on one hand, there's a good shepherd, which means if he makes the point to say, I'm a good shepherd, there must be a bad shepherd. And the bad shepherd is the hireling. Jesus says that if the wolves come, a hireling will run. I mean, you remember, what's that commercial on TV? The young man sitting at the desk, and the guy from UPS or something comes up there, and he's trying to save the company money. And the man sitting at the desk said, listen, I don't care. I just work here, but his boss is behind him. And all of a sudden, he changes his story. You mean that you do anything to save this company money, don't you? He says, yeah, that's what I mean. He was a hireling because he didn't care about the company, but the good shepherd is one that will sacrifice and lay his life down for the sheep. Thanks be to God that you got somebody in your life that'll sacrifice for you. We're here this morning. We got some young parents here getting ready to dedicate their son and their daughter to Christ. Beautiful little children, boy, girl. But let me tell you something. They've already started to sacrifice, but they ain't sacrificing nothing like they're going to sacrifice. Over the next 20, 30, 40 years. I don't know how much it's going to cost you. Somewhere I read that it costs about $160,000 to raise somebody to get them through college. That was 10 years ago. It's going to cost you $200 if you're going to sacrifice. You better enjoy that Lexus now. It's the last one you're going to get. For the next 30 years. Since the good shepherd goes before the sheep. And the good shepherd knows where the grass is and where the water is. The good shepherd leads the sheep. The good shepherd protects the sheep. The good shepherd knows that there are wolves around. The good shepherd not only protects the sheep from wolves, but the good shepherd protects the sheep from themselves. The sheep are so busy grazing grass, they're not even looking where they're going. The good shepherd protects them and says, sheep,
Fool, you're about to run off the cliff here. You got to turn around. The good shepherd uses his staff to guide the sheep and protect the sheep. And sometimes the sheep are not watching and they fall into a crevice. So the good shepherd uses the staff to lift them up out of the crevice that he's fallen. Every now and then we fall down, don't we? Thanks be to God. The good shepherd lifts us up and picks us up and cleans us up and gives us a second chance. Somebody ought to say thank you. Says, good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. And the text insinuates that the shepherd and the sheep were so close that the sheep recognized the voice of the shepherd. Talking this morning in the first service about one of our members who used to be a member. And I had not seen the person for a while, so I called the person one day and I said, well, you know, what's going on? I haven't seen you. I heard that you were worshiping at such and such a place, but I haven't seen you. He said, I was going to worship at Mount Olive at 7:30, and I was going to go somewhere else at 11. I said to the person, you can't have two shepherds, because you're going to end up a nut. Find one place and listen to one shepherd. It's like you deciding you're going to go and listen to this guy who's telling you that the world's going to end next week, and then coming back here, me telling you I don't know when it's going to end. Now, that's an easy one, because the next day after the world don't end, you'll know where to come. But it's not always that easy. You know, how many of you know you can't sit at everybody's table and eat their pablum? It will mess up your mind and you won't be no good to yourself. That's the trouble with some of our young people. You know, they're so busy listening to what Ralph or Sam or Mary or Sue got to say. They ain't got no business. They don't have no time to listen to what their mom and dad says no more.
Mom, you just so old-fashioned.
Dad,
if he's around.
Right, we don't do it that way no more. Well, you better do it that way. Better get your education.
Here it is. Jesus says, verily, verily, I tell you the truth.
Thief and the robber. Look at somebody and say, there's a contract on your life. The thief and the robber wants to destroy you. The thief and the robber, they don't come in the front door. They're always trying to sneak in the back door. They're always trying to sneak around. And Lord knows, we got some of the most handsome crooks in the world. Some of the most beautiful, I mean, fine thieves and robbers that are, it's one thing to steal a few pennies from you, but it's something else when they steal your mind. It is worse when they steal your soul.
Always going to church and just a bunch of hypocrites down there. I'm my own God. I'm a 5%er. I'm this. I don't need all that religion.
When the last time they helped anybody? When the last time they helped any Jordan? When the last time they ever been to see anybody in the hospital? When the last time they ever been?
me to see anybody in jail unless they were in jail. When the last time they ever prayed for somebody? When the last time they ever hugged somebody, encouraged somebody?
Be careful whose voice you listen to. Something that ought to mean something is a relationship. I don't like for anybody necessarily. I don't like for anybody to leave Mount Olive or whatever. But that's people's business. I understand that. But when you've invested relationship, it's more difficult.
I got to tell you. So when I was talking to this person and they're talking about, I was going to come to Mount Olive at 7:30 and I was going to go to some other place at 11. And then they said, but don't take it personal. I almost said something. How else am I going to take it but personal? Sometimes people say things to preachers. We're not supposed to be human. Jesus said to this person here, he says, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy, and I am come that you may have life and then you may have it more abundantly. That's what we're about at Mount Olive. That's what we're about. Our job is to help people to have life. To have it more abundantly. Our job is to be wind beneath their wings. Our job is to help people to see another way. Our job is to help people to lift up their bowed down hell. Our job is to help people to have hope once again. Our job is to help people to wipe the tears from their eyes. Our job is to help people to see their way through. Our job is to help people pray their way through. That's our job.
Our job. Tell people to have life.
The world has said, you're through, you're finished, you're never going to be anything. Our job is to say, you're a liar. There are people who've given up on themselves. They've given up on their kids. And when they come to church, the last thing they need to hear is a bunch of negatives. They need to hear some positives for a change. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. I dare not. Not on Jackson, on Christ. Not on Mount Olive, on Christ. Not on your stock portfolio, on Christ. Solid rock, I stand. Oh, other ground. Sinking sand. He says, the sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know their name. And they know that I love them and I care for them. I cannot always say that I've done everything in my life to please my mother. Can't always say that my kids have done everything to please us. But I can say this. My mom have never disowned me. And I will never disown my kids. They may not do everything that they're supposed to do,
You know how we got this whole thing about the preacher's kid being the worst? They ain't no worse than yours. No, they ain't no worse. They ain't no better, but they ain't no worse. They made out of the same stuff your kids are made out of and the same stuff you are made out of. We all have been flawed. We might have makeup on, but we're flawed.
Good thing is, when you're in the family of God, He always owns you. That's my child. And he tells the devil, that's my son. Take your hands off of him. That's my daughter. Take your hands off. They act a little crazy every now and then, but take your hands off of them. They do some stuff that's not pleasing to me, but take your hands off. They belong to me. The blood, they are the blood-bought child. I shed my blood on Calvary's cross that they may have a second. Take your hands off of them. They belong to me.
They are my sons and they are my daughters. They cost me too much. Do I have at least one parent? They cost me too much for me to disown them. Jesus said, listen, they cost me my blood. They cost me my life. Greater love has no man than lay down his life for a friend. I want you to know all you have to do is accept him as your Lord and your Savior today. That's all you have to do. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad you've been, no matter how people have written you off. But today, if you leave here and you come in here before this service is over and say, I accept him as our Lord, as my Lord and as my Savior, I believe he died for my sins, and you ask for him to come into your life and to forgive you of all your unrighteousness, then you can leave here, you can go out of here and say, guess what? What? I'm in the family. I'm in the family. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I'm somebody. I'm heir to the throne. There's a guy going around talking about Judgment Day. I don't know when it's coming, but I'm ready. Whenever it comes, I'm ready. I'm ready to walk in Jerusalem. Just like John. Walk in Jerusalem. Just like John. I'm ready. Walk in Jerusalem.